The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
Our bedtime story this evening is from the No Gate Gateway, the Wumen Guan. And I'll be reading from a translation from our friend David Hinton, who we've read several translations by. And he translates the names according to the meaning of the name, not the traditional name. And in this case, there are two characters. One is the teacher who is posing the question. His name is Moon Shrine Mountain. Awfully close to Moonshine Mountain, if you ask me. But Moon Shrine. And the second character is What Next? Imagine getting that name with your Aksu. What Next is the legendary inventor of the wheel with spokes, the cart wheel. So, Master Moon Shrine Mountain asked the monks, when What Next invented the wheel of the cart, it had 100 spokes. But what if the hub and rim are broken off, spokes scattered away? Do you understand the bright clarity of what it could do then? Master Moonshrine Mountain asked the monks, when What Next invented the wheel of the cart, it had 100 spokes. But what if the hub and rim are broken off, spokes scattered away? Do you understand the bright clarity of what it could do then? We've been exploring this bright clarity. This bright clarity that comes in all kinds of flavors. We are told there is a bright clarity in every moment. One of my areas of study has been fogginess. It's something I've devoted quite a lot of time to, being lost in a very confusing kind of way. Often when I head towards something that's difficult, I just kind of get fogged out and can't remember what I was supposed to be doing. And then I'm lost in the fog and have really investigated this fog. And of course, all of you have been investigating your favorite places. Maybe it's confusion like me, or maybe it's anger, irritation that arises. Maybe it's a kind of greed or a kind of wanting. This fog we can associate with ignorance. We say the three poisons: greed, anger, and ignorance. And all of us have our favorite one, our sort of default, that actually compels us to do this advanced study. And of course, here we are, all of us doing advanced research into the human mind, and into one very particular human mind, which actually is not so unique. A very particular, but as these stories show, we are encountering life itself. And as we are willing to be very specific and particular, not so much caught up in the particular story, but particular and specific into what is this here? Not what is my story about it, or where it came from, or whose fault it is, but we are exploring the suchness of our life, in some ways hacking our way through the weeds and brambles of our opinion into the heartland. So we make our best effort and to encounter this and to encounter with some clarity we can clearly be confused. One can be in the middle of fog and be clearly lost in the fog. Not so much the particular content. We spent so much of our life being seduced by the content, believing the story as the thing itself. But here, as we sit, we have the opportunity to see how the content just keeps changing, moment after moment, period after period. And in this wonderful koan, so we hear of this wonderful wheel of the cart, 100 spokes, how wonderful. But what if the hub and the rim are broken off, spokes scattered away? Of course, what we're talking about is actually not a cart, but life itself, and not some generalized life, but your life. Each one of us, of course, our own cart, each one of us created by the universe, or we might say created by the universe and ourselves, some kind of arising. We have no consciousness of having asked to be who we are, but we wake up, we grow up, and find ourselves in the particular situation we're in. And all of us, if we are lucky, develop what we call an ego, a sense of ourself. This sense of self is so important for our work in Zen. It is not the enemy we are trying to get rid of. Sense of self is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and allows us to move in this world and participate in the functioning of this world, which is a treasure, a precious and rare treasure to be born a human being and to have such terrible problems. We are indeed lucky to be here. And this is a koan about what happens when it breaks down, what happens when you break down, when your story of who you are, when this wonderful identity of self, when it falls apart, when it falls apart and the spokes, all of the parts, all of the things that you could count on no longer function. They are scattered, 100 spokes scattered over the ground. And then his question is so wonderful, translated here, do you understand the bright clarity of what it could do then? So usually with the wheel, the hub and rim broken off, spokes scattered, we say, well, what can it do? Well, it can lie on the ground, maybe build a fire out of it. But he is pointing to something else, pointing to some kind of bright clarity. Another translation of this is when the hub and the axle fall apart, what is vividly apparent? what is vividly apparent. So we are, in a sense, told that there is something vivid, something bright and clear in the middle of breakdown. This is along the lines of our ongoing investigation into life and death. Usually we say life good, death bad. Rising and coming into being good, falling apart bad. Again this evening we chanted Atta-dipa, some of the Buddha's last words. You are the light. Sometimes translated, be a light unto yourself, but I think you are the luminous light. It said these were not exactly his last words, and his last words, and I am reminded of the Buddhist historian John McCrae's injunction that the more detailed the story, the less likely it's probably true, and the more important it is. But the Buddha's last words, I assure you, are exactly these. He said, everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. Proceed with great care. Or maybe proceed with love. All compound things fall apart. Such a wonderful teaching, such a wonderful invitation. We were speaking this morning of a giving up, of surrender. Indeed, most of us spend most of our time trying to hold ourselves together. We're often told, get it together, hold it together. Actually, in Zen, we are encouraged to, when it comes together, let it come together, and when it falls apart, let it fall apart. Even this very body, this very mind, there is some freedom beyond what we could ever have imagined. There is some beauty beyond our reckoning. There is some peace that passes understanding. And this world of brightness, of bright clarity, is not available if you are holding on to your shit. Pardon the expression. This is not about getting your shit together. Well, I won't go on with that metaphor. but this is about investigating what happens when we fail, when we cannot control, when your practice is not very good and your mind is unruly, when it is not going your way. What is the bright clarity of what is here? What can this do, this place of breakdown, of no longer who I thought I was? So case 8 from the No Gate Gateway. What next invented the wheel of the cart? Master Moonshrine Mountain asked the monks, when what next invented the wheel of the cart, it had 100 spokes. But what if hub and rim are broken off, spokes scattered away? Do you understand the bright clarity of what it could do then?